please come to order? Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
29 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representatives Ward and Vasco are excused from the call of the House today.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Reverend Dwayne Minkler, First Church of God.
You alone, Father, are worthy of our praise. As we begin this day, we lovingly and gratefully offer it to you. Everything we are and everything we have is on loan from you. Father, I pray that in everything we do with what we have, our time, our talents, our material possessions, that we would ask, what would and how would our Savior do it? Lord Jesus, your example was in serving and meeting of the people's needs. Today, this body is meeting together to serve the people of the state of Alaska. Bless this assembly, I pray, and guide their thoughts. Help them to see clearly all the possibilities in the business before them this day. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 135th Legislative Day and House Supplement number 145?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 135th day and House Supplement number 145.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 135th Legislative Day and Journal Supplement number 145 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill 497 by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act creating a private cause of action relating to mobile home warranties and transferring enforcement of mobile warranties.
Senate Bill 497 is referred to the Judiciary Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 546, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee. An act relating to automobile service corporations and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Bill 186 amended, relating to named recipient grants, under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Larson, Schultz, and M.M. Miller. Locker signed, do not pass, further divides the state. Senate Bill 186 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 469, State Affairs, credited service under the Public Employees Retirement System, under consideration and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, M.M. Miller, Larson, and Schultz. Locker has no recommendation. Senate Bill 469 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 470, Rules Relating to Insurance, under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, Chairman, concurred in by Cowdery, Ringstad, and Kopanen. Having no recommendation, Ewing and Wente. Senate Bill 470 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring the Diamond Links tennis team by Representative Hayes. Citation in memoriam John Millick and Tommy Fredericks by Representatives Hurlburt, Fuller, and Vasca, and Senator Sackett.
Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that we take this memoriam up as a special order of business.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is before us as a special order of business. Will the clerk please read the citation?
Citation in memoriam John Millick and Tommy Fredericks.
Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the memoriam.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved.
I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 286, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to motor vehicle warranties. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 286, Labor and Commerce, with the same title. It reports it back as follows and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, Chairman, signing Dupass, Copen and Ringstead, Wente, and Furness. Having no recommendation, Cowdery, Pestinger, and Euling. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 286 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Objection? Hearing none, the House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 286 Labor and Commerce be considered engrossed of extra third reading placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 286, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to motor vehicle warranties.
Is there debate?
Question.
Representative Hurlburt. Representative Cowdery.
Question. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm glad to see this piece of legislation before the body today for a vote by its members. It's an important bill, one of which will protect the public from loss, and which is a very important investment to most people, and that's a new automobile. As everyone who worked on this bill knows, it's not been easy to reach a compromise on this legislation. The bill which you have in front of you is the result of many public hearings in both the House and the Senate. The concept of this type of legislation has been around for a long time, but in the last 2 years, many hours have been spent developing the concept into legislation that we're about to vote on. The bill affects a lot of people directly, and a tremendous number of people turned out to offer testimony on the legislature, on this legislation. We heard the concerns of the public, of numerous auto manufacturers, and from the Alaska auto dealers. We heard the concerns of the Consumer Protection Section of the Department of Law, and we heard from a lot of Alaskans who saw a need for this legislation. I think there were reams of data collected, and many of the sensitive concerns were taken into consideration, and at times I wasn't sure that we could reach a common ground on a compromise, but there was, and we have come up with this bill that offers good protection to the public without placing undue burden on Alaska dealers or automobile manufacturers. This legislation has the support of the Alaska Automobile Dealers Association, and I would strongly support, I think that it strongly supports protection of the public's interest, and that's was originally what this bill is designed to do, and I would urge each member of this body to vote in favor of this legislation.
Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'm glad that the previous speaker is glad that this legislation is at long last on our desk before us. It was a long time coming, Mr. Speaker, and I wish, for instance, that this bill had been enacted a year ago so that the numerous people in this state who have bought lemons and until now have not had a remedy would have had a remedy. But as the saying goes, and it's very true, better late than never. And so, Mr. Speaker, I too am glad that this legislation is before us. Mr. Speaker, lemons are for squeezing, not for driving, is the title of an article I gave an opinion piece some time ago, and it's certainly true. The amazing thing about this piece of legislation, Mr. Speaker, is that all it does is says that manufacturers have to abide by the warranties that they themselves write and that they themselves warrant to be true. Why there has ever been any hesitation about this type of legislation, I'm not sure. It's not a perfect piece of legislation, Mr. Speaker. I fully expect that all of us are going to be working in this same area next year. But it's, for now, I think, Mr. Speaker, a great leap forward over what we currently have in this area, which is practically nothing. So I think this is landmark legislation. I do urge members to support it with their yes vote. And as I say, Mr. Speaker, it was a long time coming, but we're delighted to have this opportunity. Thank you.
Question. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A no vote will leave a sour taste in your mouth.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, Shall the House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 286 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
The House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 286 has passed the House. Representative Flood.
Mr. Speaker, with your permission, I'd like to move back up the calendar to introduction of guests, please.
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A close friend of mine and a lady who has helped me through this session is in Gallery B with the son of a man who served in this body. I'd like to introduce Dwight McBride and Pat Miley.
Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 48 by the Judiciary Committee, suspending Uniform Rule 41B of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill Number 575. The Committee on Rules has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 48 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 48 Rules with the same title and reports it back due pass. The report was signed by Mr. Fuller, Chairman, concurred in by Hayes, Liska, Tischer, Fuller, and Barnes. Phillips signed, do not pass, bill stripping and gutting. And M.M. Miller has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 48 be adopted in lieu of the original resolution.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Rules Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original resolution. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Miller?
Yeah, please.
House, please stand at ease. Right. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Rules Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 48 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
31 yeas, 6 nays.
The House Rules Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 48 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Joe Rexroth by Representatives Clarkson and Euling.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring the fine arts students, Blatchley Junior High School, by Representative Grusendorf.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would it be proper for the clerk to read the next two citations and I can move all
yes,
three
would you read, will the clerk please read the next two?
Citation in memoriam, Robert Rago, by Representative Grusendorf. Citation in memoriam, Kenneth J. Marvin, by Representative Grusendorf and Senator Eliason.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move the citations and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the three citations are approved. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Marjorie Hahn by Senators Kurtula and Vic Fisher.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citations are approved. This brings us to the end. Today's calendar and unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Please. We'll deal with committee substitute for House Bill 504 Finance, our limbo file. An act establishing the teacher scholarship loan fund and providing for an effective date. Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 504 Finance thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 504 Judiciary. Recommend the members vote no.
Clerk, please read the bill.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 504 Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee. An act establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question. Representative Winty?
Could Majority Leader or someone else explain the differences between those two bills, please?
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Senate made the following changes in the House version of this bill. On page 2, lines 6 and 28, and page 3, line 7, Senate version adds the requirement that the bars teach in public schools. The House version did not specify that the schools be public. Page 3, beginning at line 10, the Senate revises the forgiveness provision of the loan program. The House version, 100% forgiveness of a loan was possible if the bar worked for over 4 years in a rural school. Senate version only allows 50% forgiveness. The House version will loan up to $10,000 per year. The Senate version reduced this to $7,500 per year.
Are you ready for the question?
Question
is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for House Bill 504 Finance, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 504 Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
13 yeas, 24 nays.
House has failed to concur in Senate amendments to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 504. At this time, I'm going to appoint a conference committee consisting of Representative Hurlburt, Chairman, Representative Adams, and Representative Davis. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote in Senate Concurrent Resolution number 48.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Malone for his vote on Senate Concurrent Resolution 48. House, please stand at ease. Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to deal with Committee Substitute for House Bill 209 Rules, an act relating to the classification of personnel and providing for an effective date. Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the House concur in the Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for House Bill 209 Rules, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 209 State Affairs, and I recommend the members vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 209 State Affairs by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the classification of personnel and providing for an effective date.
Representative Mel.
The recommendation is that vote yes so that the bill will not go to conference. Is that correct?
Representative Barnes?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. That was my recommendation.
Representative Clarkson?
I guess I missed that motion.
We have the motion restated. I didn't match it up with the recommendation.
Okay.
Representative.
Here we go. Ready? Mr. Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the House concur on the Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for House Bill 209 Rules, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute. Committee Substitute for House Bill 209 State Affairs, and recommend the members vote yes.
Are you ready for the question? That bill has been read. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, that recommendation, I don't know whether it's appropriate to speak about a recommendation, but that recommendation means the Senate version would be adopted. And it was my understanding that there was some objection with the Senate version and that this bill was going to be going to conference committee. I'm a little confused here.
I think, Representative Clarkson, that on first analysis, there may have been some objections, but on further consideration, the objections have been removed. It's my understanding.
Let me make clear, just so I know where we're going here. The Senate version of this legislation would not place correctional superintendents in the partially exempt status. Is that correct? Great.
Are you ready for the question?
Question?
Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for House Bill 209 Rules, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 209 State Affairs? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
34 yeas, 3 nays.
House has concurred in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 209, State Affairs. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent of the roll call vote on passage. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate for House Bill 209, State Affairs. Be considered the roll call vote on effective date clause.
Your objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the House please stand at ease? Please, we were down to unfinished business. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move and ask unanimous consent there that I be allowed to withdraw House Bill 586 from the House roll of bills. The title of the bill, Mr. Speaker, is an act relating to the benefits for elected officials under the public employees retirement system, and it applies for effective date.
You want to withdraw the bill?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please. Is there objection to the motion? Pardon?
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to look up the title of the bill.
Well, he just read the title. Would you restate the title?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, the title of the bill is an act relating to the benefits for elected officials under the public employees retirement system, and it provides also for an effective date.
The motion is, the bill is now in rules. The sponsor of the bill, Representative Zaroff, would like to withdraw the bill for further consideration. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Further unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Lindar.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of Senate Bill 431 this time.
Representative Lindar has brought up his reconsideration of Senate Bill 431. Will the clerk please read the bill?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 431, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the purchase of residential child care services and providing for an effective date. There is a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker, and we are in third reading.
Will the clerk please read the amendment? This is amendment number three.
It's amendment number two from yesterday. It's going to be number three today by Lindauer. It's page 1, line 18, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we move from third reading back to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, that being the amendment on the members' desks.
There is objection, Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of this amendment, I would like the body to know that residential child care is much more than a babysitting operation. Residential child care, as it is intended in this legislation, is a specialized service which has an office in health and social services, which places severely, in many cases, severely disabled children into the very best homes that the administrators, the state administrators, can find. There are children who are very, very seriously disabled, and I would like to give the body an experience that I had last night attending a board meeting of the local group home in Juneau, which dealt with the problem of a child who cannot swallow and who therefore has been refused admission over here at St. Jude. The question of whether it should go, this child, a young child, should go to a group home here in Juneau, which we declined to take because we're afraid that that child will not get adequate medical care, that in fact we might drown the child by trying to feed this infant without proper training of personnel. All in all, Mr. Speaker, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that we have all kinds of children in the state, that the state has a, in loco parentis, I think is the right word, obligation to these children to provide services for them and to place them wherever the state officials find that service to be best. And we should not, with these great difficulties of placing these children, try to arbitrarily restrict, as this bill does, where these children can be placed. We ought to give the administrators the broadest freedom to find the best place. And that best place is not necessarily with an organization that has an administrative structure, which is a non-profit corporation. It could just as easily be a partnership or a proprietorship or an association. It could be a church group. It is a professional question, and we ought not to try to use the legal standing of the governing organization as the criteria to limit it. We should let the professionals in health and social services put those kids where those kids will get the best care. Now, we defeated an amendment the other day that called for competitive bidding. There's no question but what the administrators have the power to put those children where they ought to do the best. I'm also persuaded by something that was handed to me by a representative as we came in, just came out. This is a South Central Health Planning Development report, and it talks about small rural hospitals in South Central and Western Alaska. Let me read you, if I might, Mr. Speaker, because I think it's directly related to this amendment. It says, the traditional hospital product, acute care services, must be redefined. Hospitals must carefully diversify into new promising market segments. New ways to organize and deliver health care to promote efficiencies and adaptability to change must be considered. And hospitals must learn to compete more effectively in low-growth businesses. Well, Mr. Speaker, there has been discussion, we all know, related to the possible acquisition of hospitals by the Charter Group and others. I think it's the Charter Group. Maybe that's a name that's sticking in my mind. But the people who run, particularly because of a recent Supreme Court decision the other day that appeals to me immensely, the private hospital that's running the former Alaska hospital, the Teamsters Hospital, that group of people have talked about acquiring some of our smaller hospitals. There's the possibility that private hospitals may be built in other areas. It's quite possible that a fundraising association attached to a municipal hospital such as the Cordova Hospital might very well wish to sell services to the state, and the state might wish to buy them in order to help support that hospital. There is no reason why the legal organization of the corporate body, however it is, should impede the ability to get the best possible care at the lowest prices for these kids. And all I'm asking in this amendment is that we leave the power to place in the hands of the professionals and not try to say that if it's an association or a partnership or a proprietorship or whatever that you can't do business with them. So I would ask the body to seriously consider this amendment and please vote to go back to second reading. Thank you.
Shall the House Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 431 be returned from third to second reading for the purpose of adopting a specific amendment, amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
12 yeas, 22 nays.
Motion to return to second reading. It's failed to pass the House. Further unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Milton.
We need to vote on the bill.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 431, which is before us under reconsideration, pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
31 yeas, 3 nays.
The House Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 431 has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on passage of the House committee substitute for Senate Bill 431 finance be considered the roll call vote on effective debt clauses.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This isn't an announcement of a committee meeting. But as you know, we like to remember special days of members of this body. And at this time, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to remember a special day of not only my neighbor who watches over and protects my house when I'm away, but I consider a friend. So at this time, would you help me wish Representative Mike Szymanski a happy birthday?
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. they just had to make me do it, didn't they? I just want to announce to everybody that I have not died. I know I've been outspoken recently on a few issues that people have suggested I may get shot at over, but it hasn't happened. Thank you.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be no conference committee meeting today. Hopefully at 1:30 tomorrow we will start on the conference committee and finish up the budget that includes the front section and the fiscal notes section tomorrow at 1:30. There will be a finance meeting at 8 a.m. The bills have been posted. Thank you.
Representative Tischer, did you wish to bring up a citation as a special order of business?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Do we move up the calendar or can we do it now?
You can move that the citation be brought before the body as a special order of business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we consider in memoriam to Max Frederick Guchwich for a special order of business. Guchwich, excuse me.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is before us as a special order of business. Representative Clarkson?
I don't believe I have it on my desk. Do you have a
copy
of it?
Does the clerk have this?
I have it. I haven't duplicated it yet. I just got it.
I'd sort of like to look at it before we vote on it.
Sure.
Yes. Well, the House, please stand at ease. Waiting for the citation to be distributed, are there any announcements? Any announcements of committee meetings or other announcements? Representative Tischer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Hess Committee will be meeting, as I announced yesterday, tomorrow at 1:15 in the regular room 112. And on the agenda will be a committee substitute for Senate Bill 346, an act related to treatment of mentally ill persons, committee substitute for Senate Bill 373, which deals with the asbestos abatement program, Senate Bill 362, which is on the scholarship loan program, and Senate Bill 343, which deals with premarital blood tests.
Representative Yearling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Special Committee on Loans will meet promptly at 1 o'clock this afternoon in House Resources to take up SB 461 relating to the use and management use of water in mining.
Representative Davis, you want to bring up your reconsideration of House Joint Resolution 45?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of HJR 45 at this time.
The clerk, please read the resolution.
House Joint Resolution Number 45 amended by Tischer, Barnes, Bettesworth, Bussell, Liska, and Ward relating to repeal of the federal estate tax. We are in third reading, Mr. Speaker, and I have a proposed amendment on my desk.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we move from third to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment Number 3 by Mr. Davis. Page 1, delete lines 16 and 17.
Page 1, delete lines 16 and 17. There was objection to your motion, Representative Davis. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to give everyone the opportunity to vote their conscience on this again. This amendment merely would delete the inaccurate portions of this resolution. I just think it's important that this body sends back to Washington, D.C. accurate information. And what it does is, at least part of it says that we eliminated state income tax to help stimulate the economic recovery in the state. Well, I mean, it was pretty clearly stated yesterday that that's not the reason why we eliminated state income tax. We were awash in money. And then the other thing is it says that we have eliminated the state estate tax, and we haven't done that yet. It's contingent on the federal government eliminating their state estate tax. So all I'm trying to do with this amendment is make sure that this is a clean resolution. We're sending back a resolution that's an accurate one. And I'd urge the adoption of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The representative from Fairbanks is wrong on two accounts. First of all, yesterday it might have been stated by some that we didn't repeal personal income tax to help stimulate an economic recovery. There was disagreement on that subject. I remember disagreeing on that particular subject, and I don't think that the gentleman from Fairbanks can say what was in our minds when we worked to repeal the personal income tax, because he wasn't here, and many of those of us that did, in fact, work to repeal it was so it would help at that time have the people with more dollars in their pocket to spend, thus stimulating the economy. And, of course, the same argument can be used for the permanent fund dividend, and it's about the only argument that can be used except that it is the people's money. Beyond that, as I recall yesterday, also I'd like to say that the taxes that you take away from the people is their money, too. I would like to further state, if memory serves me correctly, there was an amendment by my colleague from South Anchorage yesterday that removed estate taxes from this, if I'm not mistaken, which means that the gentleman from Fairbanks is wrong on both accounts.
Representative Davis.
Thank you. I just find her the arguments of the majority leader somewhat amazing that we eliminated state income tax to stimulate the economic recovery in the state when we were at that time we were awash in money. So I don't see how we were trying to stimulate an economic recovery when we were doing quite well at the time. So I'm not sure that argument really convinced me of anything, but maybe convinced some of your members.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to set the record straight on something that came up yesterday and came up again today. At the time we repealed the personal income tax, it is a fact that the state treasury was overflowing with dollars. But it is not a fact that the people of the state were seeing the benefits of those dollars, because those dollars were just then coming into the state treasury. And in fact, we as a government was rich and the people were poor. So again, you cannot say that it was not to help the people through their giving back to them their own tax dollars.
Representative Kopanen.
I hate to keep the majority whip from luncheon, or myself for that matter, but at that time we were building the pipeline. There was considerable a considerably enriched economy, and the arguments that were presented by the main proponents, who, as I remember, were in the small minor party, the Libertarian Party, and were that it was an infringement on personal rights of the individual. It had nothing much to do. I cannot remember any real economic discussion, at least. I may be speaking of my section of the country. In Fairbanks, in Anchorage, other arguments may have prevailed, but certainly the reports in the newspapers were around the infringement on the liberty of a person to do what he wants with his money, not on any economic gain that may have been thought.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I think it's that we need to tie together some of the comments that were just made so that everybody kind of understands what income tax is, what it's used for, why it's there, and what happens when you don't have one. It all depends on which side of the pocketbook you're on as to how beneficial any tax is. An income tax in this state was used to support state government.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
State your point, Representative.
I'm questioning whether or not any of the debate, and I was going to rise in previously, is germane because of the fact that we did eliminate that language from the bill yesterday. I mean, at some point in time, we should get down to either debating the economic recovery language, which is left in there, in a state tax. But income tax is not debatable from my perspective because it's no longer in the bill, or is it?
Mr. Speaker.
The estate tax was, the estate tax portion of the resolution was eliminated by amendment yesterday, but the income tax is still in there. Representative Tischer.
Thank you. I'd like to continue so that we have a little less than economics here. The state income tax took money out of the pocketbooks of you and me and my brother and sister and neighbor. That meant that we were minus the money that we earned. It put money into the pocket of the government, which made them be able to operate. What our majority leader has said is that situation no longer was a necessity. The state government was receiving income from another source, meaning the oil money. Therefore, the state and the legislature decided they did not no longer need money from the pocketbooks of the general day-to-day worker. Therefore, it was eliminated, which then in turn provided provided extra money for the individual to spend and use for themselves. That's what the state income tax was and no longer is, and if that ties in, I see no reason why one could debate whether or not that helped the economy. It certainly helped my economic position and in the individual. It perhaps didn't help the state any. But the fact is that when taking money from one place and putting it to another is no longer beneficial to the person receiving or the individual or the body the receiving, that means economic recovery in my eyes to the individual. I speak against moving to a second reading.
Representative Baska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would like to reiterate what the gentleman from Kenai said yesterday about this particular section and what it meant, what it means in terms of the economics. Mr. Speaker, I agree with the gentleman who proposes the amendment that lines 16 and 17 is purely economic conjecture about an economic recovery in the state. Nevertheless, let me reiterate what the gentleman from Kenai said. If, in fact, you have a state income tax, that can be written off on the federal income tax. If you take away the state income tax, you can't do that. A larger portion of one's income then goes to the federal coffers. None of it comes back to the state. The state can gather money from personal income and use that money for public purposes. That's the whole point behind the short economics discussion that the gentleman from Kenai said yesterday. And I agree with that. The fact that this section is included is simply conjecture, and it's economic conjecture to stimulate an economic recovery in the state. There was no severe depression at that particular point in time. There was sufficient money in the state general fund gotten from the oil revenues, and there was no need for a personal income tax. The different arguments that were put forward by the libertarians at the time and the Republicans at the time were simply moot.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Several times on this floor, and I want to clarify it for the record, the Libertarian Party of the state has been given credit for the repeal of the personal income tax. And that simply is not a fact. In fact, the Libertarian Party was at a point circulating an initiative to repeal the personal income tax. But they are not responsible, neither is their initiative responsible for the repeal of the personal income tax. The body that introduced the bill, fought to repeal the personal income tax, was members of the House of Representatives. Had nothing to do with the Libertarian Party, nor with the Libertarians' initiative.
Representative Miller.
I didn't want to prolong this, but I want to set the record straight as long as we're setting the record straight. The first person to introduce legislation in this body to reduce and eliminate income tax was indeed in the House. And he was the gentleman that represented Ketchikan as a Democrat for many years. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davis?
Yes. Returning to second reading.
Yes, and on the amendment, yes.
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'll try to narrow my remarks.
Thank you.
I stand corrected on the state estate tax that was done by a member of this House, but it's still we need to clean up this section right here. It says here that we eliminated the state income tax to help stimulate an economic recovery. That simply wasn't the reason why it was done, and I haven't heard any convincing arguments otherwise. I think it's important that we, once again, I say it's important that we give the U.S. Congress a clear message on this and not one that's with inaccuracy. So I urge its adoption. And
are you ready for the question?
Question
is, shall House Joint Resolution 45 amended be returned from third to second reading for the purpose of adopting a specific amendment, amendment number 3, members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
14 yeas, 23 nays.
Motion to return to second reading has failed to pass the House. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution 45 amended pass the House on reconsideration Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
25 yeas, 12 nays.
House Joint Resolution 45 amended has passed the House on reconsideration. Everyone should now have a copy of the citation in memoriam, Max Frederick Gottschalk. Is there objection to the motion to bring the citation before the body as a special order of business? Hearing none, will the clerk please read the citation?
Citation in memoriam, Max Frederick Gottschalk, by Representatives Tischer, Lindauer, Hayes, Furness, Cowdery, Bussell, Bettesworth, Hurlbert, Barnes, Euling, and Pestinger.
Representative Tischer, move the citation.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move the citation in memoriam and ask for unanimous consent.
Objection?
Object.
Representative Vasquez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only section of the citation that I object to is a sentence here saying that the gentleman traveling by dog sled became the first man ever to cross from Siberia to Alaska by that mode of travel. I can go back to historical references to show that that's not true at all.
Without objection, the citation is approved. Special order?
What it means to those of us in rural Alaska, I get a bit upset because I think we should take the whole picture into account when we talk about it. There's some objection that the power equalization bill does not do anything for Anchorage. Mr. Speaker, that might be so. But let's talk about what other things the state as a whole does for Anchorage and South Central. If we just look at the great push behind the building of the Susitna hydroelectric projects, those of us from the bush ask, where is the equalization? Where is the equity? If you look at the state's share of the building of the $16 to $17 billion project and ask, what portion of that is the state going to pay for that will not help the bush at all? $3.5 billion is proposed, Mr. Speaker. $3.5 billion proposed in addition to what has already been spent. Over $100 million has been spent already on the intertie, which I call the Susitna intertie, which one of the gentlemen from Fairbanks calls the rail belt intertie. Call it what you like, Mr. Speaker. It's still a direct appropriation for helping the rail belt area. That doesn't do anything for the bush. Mr. Speaker, if you divide the $3.5 billion over the lifetime of the expected lifetime of the Susitna hydroelectric projects, that comes to approximately $30 million a year. Assuming that the life expectancy of the Susitna hydroelectric project is 50 years. Even if you expand that to 100 years, that direct subsidy is up to $15 million a year. I don't object to the building of Susitna based on the need. I will vote for it if, in fact, you can prove to me that it's economically viable. Additionally, we had a bill floating around that says, well, we certainly don't want the rail belt users to be paying so much for their electricity, so we'll have a rate stabilization in excess of $1 billion, just so that you keep the rates down now. Mr. Speaker, Anchorage Kenai gets one of the lowest rates for electric uses in this United States. That it's real tough for somebody from the bush who pays 48 cents per kilowatt hour to come into Anchorage and say, where's my share? It only becomes an issue when we from the bush identify that the state has a responsibility to distribute its resources equitably. Then it suddenly becomes a problem. There may be some machinations that we need to go through to adjust that equity. But I suspect that given the fact that we pay such high rates, we can look to paying as low a rate as even double what Anchorage has to pay now. The bill that was before us but was put back into finance
asked that the rates for only 750 kilowatts per month be brought down to what Anchorage pays now. After that, you pay what the market rate is going. The gentleman from Kenai last week talked about subsidies and hidden subsidies. I believe that the natural gas contracts over the last several years are in fact that, hidden subsidies, something that we don't talk about. We don't talk about the market rate that the gas prices or the utilities would have to pay for gas if in fact they existed. Those kinds of considerations have to be taken into account when we talk about power equalization in this state. Yes, we have some very scattered populations, and with those scattered populations, we have extremely high costs, not only for capital projects, but for operating costs. We ask for equity. We vote for giving lower electric rates to the rail belt in the form of Susitna, and I know the gentleman from Sleetmute is a strong supporter of Susitna. He believes in it. Give his constituents and him that same consideration. There are a lot of other things that we can talk about when we talk about equity, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we have the highest paid university teachers in the world. We give in the neighborhood of $274 million annually to the university system. Why aren't we producing the best students in the world? Why don't we have the best research institutions in the world? Very little of that money goes to the bush. It's tied up in capital projects and operating budgets in the urban areas, predominantly in the urban areas. The benefits accrued to students who come from rural areas is minimal. If you look at the dropout rate, even at the high school level, among rural students, it's extremely high. That percentage of dropout rate goes even higher when you go to the university. For as much money as we give to the universities, it is ill-equipped to deal with the cultural and social differences that the rural students of Alaska give to the university. That's not equity. I ask, Mr. Speaker, and members of this body, that when you consider equity and what it means for the state, look at the whole picture. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have the request the privilege of the floor to speak on a former House Bill 586. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Former House Bill 586 was one there that was targeted to address the needs of a small group of people in the state, probably a group of people that had very little voice, or if their voice was heard, very little attention was given to them. And these people primarily, Mr. Speaker, were those people that served on borough assemblies, city councils, public officials in this sense here. And they were allowed by statute under Title 39, Section 35, 125B, they were allowed to participate in a public retirement program prior to February 1st, 1983. And those that got into the program were allowed to make use of those retirement benefits. And the program was made available to anybody that was a public official prior to January 1, 1981. And from my research, Mr. Speaker, I had one request from my constituent, and I thought that maybe we ought to try to resolve this. And from my research, that since the closing of this program, there have been about 20 applicants that have inquired wanting to make use of this particular program. And because of the deadline that we had cut off, or that we had established earlier, which cut off the ability for these people to participate, February 1, 1983, they're not able to participate in this particular program. So what we have are, I suppose, because of the lack of information for one reason or another, whether they didn't get the letter or whether they didn't hear it from a city council or whatever it might be, they weren't informed until after the cutoff date. And what this legislation would have done, Mr. Speaker, and incidentally, it was introduced early this year. It went through two committees. The State Affairs Committee, I believe there was a split vote. There's three due passes and three non-recommendations. It went through the Finance Committee, where it had six due passes. And it's been in the Rules Committee since March. And I thought this was relatively a non-controversial issue. And I, from my gatherings, the only reason there that it's been held up is because it's been sponsored by a minority member. But regardless of the issue, I guess I made a mistake. I should have had a committee introduce that bill. Because it does take care of just, or it did have the possibilities of taking care of just a small few group of people that, if the bill had passed, would have extended the deadline from now until whenever, and I'm sure these people are gradually going to work themselves out of the opportunity. Just chronological age will take care of that. But what it would have done was would have at least offered the opportunity for those individuals, as they heard about it as time went on, to be able to participate in this particular program. As I mentioned, Mr. Speaker, I only had one constituent in my district that had any real concern on this, and the other 19 to 21 people must have come from some other municipalities, and I don't suspect that a lot of them came from the municipalities out of the major urban areas of our state. So the legislation, I guess, Mr. Speaker, is available if any of the standing committees want to take a serious look at it and possibly maybe work to rectify a problem there that doesn't need to exist, Mr. Speaker. It, at the most, maybe the Department of Commerce Division of Retirement, I think it was indicated to me that, or maybe it was under administration, indicated that there might be a maximum of about 50 people. And in this, Mr. Speaker, the applicant paid half of the fee, and then the municipality paid the other half, and there was a state contribution. So we're looking at possibly the state maybe looking at a fiscal note, if everybody applied, of about $47,000. But what we've done, Mr. Speaker, and I didn't want to raise the hopes of this one individual that I had, or the hopes of the individuals that other representatives have in waiting for the anticipation of the passage of this bill. I would just as soon either let it die, or in this case here, I just as soon have it removed, and I appreciate the body's concern, and I guess I know where the priorities are.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to speak on good messages and different ways of receiving them?
You have the floor, Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, we have a mechanism that we hear messages from the other body and messages from the governor and so forth in this body, and then we have our special time where we ourselves can deliver personal messages on certain philosophies and so forth during the special orders. And then we also have, at least many of us use, other mechanisms by sending to send good messages. I use a newsletter to my constituents, and as I was preparing one last week, one of the things that I thought was going to be of interest to my constituents was a concern that had been spoken to on the floor of this body and the other body too, and that's the bonded indebtedness of the state and our $5.8 billion. And I tried to point out to my constituency how much that meant to them personally. It's approximately $12,500 for each one in their family. And while I was writing that, and of course I thought that was a good message, and I think it brought to light personally how much money we have, you know, we've indebted ourselves to individually. And then another good message I happened to run across on the same day, as a matter of fact, was a message to the whole state population through a newspaper article written by our good governor. And I thought that was a good message too, and that dealt with his efforts to increase the savings account that we have, our permanent fund. And he points out, similarly to what I was pointing out as far as the debt is concerned, that at this point in time, we have, each of us, $10,600 in a savings account. And I think that's also a good message. The unfortunate thing of the comparison, by the way, is that we have a debt of individually of $12,500 and only a savings account of $10,600, but including the interest on the other. But there's interest on the permanent fund, too, so perhaps they balance out. But then, Mr. Speaker, I got to thinking, you know, there's lots of ways that we get messages. You know, when you get on an airplane and you sit down for one particular airline, while you're eating the meal that they serve you, there is a message, a little message, a prayer laying alongside your food. And then I poured myself a cup of tea, and I looked at a box that carries the tea that I drink. And that really epitomized, I thought, different ways in which the public receives messages. And usually you'll find, Mr. Speaker, that advertising is on the box so that people will buy the product and so forth. And this has nothing to do with the product. And if you'll give me permission, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to read the message that I found on a box of tea. It says, when two people are able to live together, a family can be born. As these families grow in love and trust, the root of a great and stable civilization are formed. Now remember, this is on a box of tea. Of all human relationships, marriage succeeds in developing maturity and cannot be obtained in any other social relationship. Most people seek a mate to share their lives with, but modern marital statistics show us that in this time of great unsettling, the art of successful intimate relationships should be one of our most important priorities. Let us be inspired to draw upon all of our resources and rediscover those lasting values that have always been held by families and held together. Marriage isn't just a looking towards one another, but it's also turning and facing the responsibilities of parenthood and the other realities of life together. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, I, under special orders, like to move to withdraw my notice of reconsideration of Senate concurrent resolution number 48. I've looked over the addition of the bill looks attaches to it. It looks okay to me.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, May 24th, 1984.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.